As I look at the brave little fleet that is now preparing to challenge infinity, my mind goes back 40 years, to the days when the first satellites were launched, and the moon still seemed very far away. And I remember, indeed I have never forgotten, my father's fight to keep me down on Earth. There were not many weapons he had failed to use. Ridicule had been the first. "Of course they can do it," he had sneered, "but what's the point? Who wants to go out into space while there's so much to be done here on Earth? There's not a single planet in the solar system where men can live. The moon's a burnt-out slag heap, and everywhere else is even worse. This is where we were meant to live." Even then, I must have been 18 or so at the time, I could tangle him up in points of logic. I can remember answering, "How do you know where we were meant to live, Dad? After all, we were in the sea for about 1 billion years before we decided to tackle the land. Now we're making the next big jump. I don't know where it will lead. Nor did that first fish when it crawled up on the beach and started to sniff the air." So when he couldn't out-argue me, he had tried subtler pressures. He was always talking about the dangers of space travel and the short working life of anyone foolish enough to get involved in rocketry. At that time, people were still scared of meteors and cosmic rays. Like the here-be-dragons of the old map-makers, they were the mythical monsters on the still-blank celestial charts. But they didn't worry me. If anything, they added the spice of danger to my dreams. While I was going through college, Father was comparatively quiet. My training would be valuable, whatever profession I took up in later life, so he could not complain. Though he occasionally grumbled about the money I wasted buying all the books and magazines on astronautics that I could find. My college record was good, which naturally pleased him. Perhaps he did not realize that it would also help me to get my way. All through my final year, I had avoided talking about my plans. I had even given the impression, though I am sorry for that now, that I had abandoned my dream of going into space. Without saying anything to him, I put in my application to Astrotech and was accepted as soon as I had graduated. The storm broke when the long blue envelope with the embossed heading Institute of Astronautical Technology dropped into the mailbox. I was accused of deceit and ingratitude, and I do not think I ever forgave my father for destroying the pleasure I should have felt at being chosen for the most exclusive and most glamorous apprenticeship the world has ever known. The vacations were an ordeal. Had it not been for Mother's sake, I do not think I would have gone home more than once a year, and I always left again as quickly as I could. I had hoped that Father would mellow as my training progressed and as he accepted the inevitable, but he never did. Then had come that stiff and awkward parting at the spaceport, with the rain streaming down from leaden skies and bearing against the smooth walls of the ship that seemed so eagerly waiting to climb into the eternal sunlight beyond the reach of storms. I know now what it cost my father to watch the machine he hated swallow up his only son, for I understand many things today that were hidden from me then. He knew, even as we parted at the ship, that he would never see me again, yet his old stubborn pride kept him from saying the only words that might have held me back. I knew that he was ill, but how ill, he had told no one. That was the only weapon he had not used against me, and I respect him for it. Would I have stayed had I known? It is even more futile to speculate about the unchangeable past than the unforeseeable future. All I can say now is that I am glad I never had to make the choice. At the end, he let me go. He gave up his fight against my ambition, and a little while later, his fight with death. So I said goodbye to Earth and to the father who loved me but knew no way to say it. He lies down there on the planet I can cover with my hand. How strange it is to think that of the countless billion human beings whose blood runs in my veins, I was the very first to leave his native world. The new day is breaking over Asia. A hairline of fire is rimming the eastern edge of Earth. Soon it will grow into a burning crescent as the sun comes up out of the Pacific. Yet Europe is preparing for sleep, except for those revelers who will stay up to greet the dawn. And now, over there by the flagship, the ferry rocket is coming back for the last visitors from the station. Here comes the message I have been waiting for. Captain Stevens presents his compliments to the station commander. Blastoff will be in 90 minutes. He will be glad to see you aboard now. Well, Father, now I know how you felt. Time has gone full circle. Yet I hope that I have learned from the mistakes we both made long ago. I shall remember you when I go over there to the flagship Starfire and say goodbye to the grandson you never knew.